Be careful on that chair.
We still have that big white one.
I'm good.
One that Louis.
Yeah.
It's not moving.
Okay. Are you good?
So, when Eric started doing this series, he knew he was gone this week and kind of reached out and asked us if we would. He basically said, since your kids turned out all right, do you mind sharing some of your wisdom? I'm just like, oh gosh, okay. Because honestly, in the throes of parenthood, you really don't. You are reacting to the situation, and so you, the biggest advice I could give you is to try and help with your reactionary processes so that you don't act inappropriately for your children. You know, so just some of the things we talked about was what were things that really broadened our perspective on raising our children, and what were some things that we wish we would have done after years of going through things and looking back and learning as we go. And again, you know, when you're in the throes of that toddler school age child, you don't have time to read. You don't have time to really study and look at all these, you know, advice. And so you have to rely on the people and your community around you. And again, just so that your own reactionary impulses are in check, so that you act appropriately. So I was going to Target and I was looking for some Mother's Day birthday cards, and I ran across this card that said mac and cheese. Mac and cheese is huge in our family. Rob has made it very gourmet and wonderful, but honestly, that blue box Kraft macaroni and cheese was probably the best parenting I did, because I am not a cook. And he would travel a lot when the kids were little, and he all and tell me these wonderful Parisian dinners he's having, and I'm like, we had mac and cheese again. So it basically saved my life and my kids. They were nourished, and so I just ran across this card. It made me laugh because it's like mac and cheese. That's really the best parenting advice I can give, and it was for a you know, upcoming child into the family. So that was kind of it. All right. So as we were speaking and talking to one another, trying to figure out what things broadened our perspective, what made us the parents we were and the people we were. And so we kind of three main. One was the influences on your own internal perspective, how you were raised as a child. That played a part in how we went about raising our own children. The importance of community. We were in this area, but the importance of community, building that community, having other people other than yourself and your immediate family to help you with your children, and allowing your children to test the waters, giving them those opportunities to go out there and try the things that you've been teaching them. And as they grow, obviously you release that slowly, and hopefully they make good decisions in the end. Anything on this slide you want to add? Because I'll just speak up when they're okay. So the first one we're going to look at is influences on internal perspective. So we kind of talked about, as we were speaking with one another, we're like, well, yes, your childhood experience of how you were raised does have an influence. It either influences you in a way, or maybe you're like, I'm never going to do that my parents did, you know, with me, or maybe it's a combination of both. So
we all learn parents from our parents, and for those parents, this hasn't happened yet. At some point you'll know that you thought you would never ever say the things you hated when your parents said, it'll come out of your mouth.
So when I kind of was curious of, I just threw out a question to my kids, you know, what worked and what didn't work. We're not fishing for compliments here. I just want to know, what were some parenting techniques that really worked for y'all? They all basically said that they grew up in a family that laughed a lot, which we do. There's lots of humor. We feel like we're a family, and that they all agreed with that. But something that came up that was kind of eye-opening, and it kind of connected back to my childhood experience, was that we didn't do big emotions well. So while we would talk to one another about other outside situations, we could totally parent that great. But if it happened to be our own something that happened in our own home, it was like, I get really quiet in the house. Rob just kind of goes, you know, and I was like, you know, didn't well with that. And they all said, yeah, big emotions about had like huge. We again have been very blessed. We haven't had like huge troubles yet, but we when it came down to dealing with one another, I'm just like, well, that kind of has to do with how I was. You know, I'm thinking I'm doing these things and creating this really open family, which we were. But going back to my own childhood, my parents. We're thinking. Rob doesn't, I mean, he'll tell you.
We didn't talk about anything, I mean, anything of trouble.
Yeah. So that was a byproduct of our own childhood growing up. And it was really interesting that all three of them were like, I mean, Molly, all children are. So, you know, I threw out this assignment. Molly, like this four paragraph essay in a text, you know. Need your input, and Mom Dad won't answer anything unless she knows what the right answer. So she's like, "Well, send me what Molly wrote," you know. So, so I send Meg, and she's like, "I agree." Have Nolan, I just got yesterday written on a piece of paper, real quick. So something that they all three said. So that was really eye opening. So while that is a that doesn't mean you're stuck in that situation just because you were raised that way. You're going to raise your children that way. But it's really important to understand that it is going to have some influence on how you parent your child, and to keep that in check and maybe ask more questions. If you're fearful of something that you're doing that you don't want to do, ask your kids for their perspective. The second thing was reliance on God. If I did not have God to daily on a minute-to-minute, I would have been a hot mess. I am a anxious worrier by nature, and if I was able to release that, it would be crazy. So, I mean, every time my kid got in the car, I'd be like, please let them get there safely, you know, every time Meg comes home from college, when they're away, you know, just knowing that we're in this together, because we would have been, it would not have been pretty. So the reliance on God was huge for us. Anything on that?
No.
Self-care. Well, this sounds so trendy, and you're like, oh, you got to take care of yourself. And again, if you have young kids, it's so, so hard to find that time for yourself. But it's super important. And I have a good group of girlfriends, and once a year, all the guys would watch the kids so we could take off for a weekend. Or honestly, just I used to work away from home called Child in remember Donna? Yeah. And I would stop there on my way home maybe 2-3 days a week, honestly, not to buy a thing, but just to come. It was just like this nice calm little store, and I would just kind of walk around, decompress, get back on track, and then go pick up my kids. And it made a huge difference. And it sounds so silly, but it really is important to take care of yourself, because obviously if you're not in the right mindset, you're not going to be where you want to be. And so that was huge for us. For me. And then authenticity. I think this is really important in so many areas, but in this case, it's being authentic with yourself. And I was listening to Eric's, I was in the nursery last week, we were in the nursery, so we missed Eric's talk last week, but I was listening to it on my self-care walk around the park. And he mentioned something that just really hit home, because so many times we do try to create this unauthentic look at how we're parenting. And so when our children do act out, we totally, oh my goodness, they're going to think I'm a horrible parent. Oh my goodness. Oh my goodness. And I loved what Eric said, that in most cases, what you're thinking is not what the people around you are thinking. They understand that kids have bad days. They understand that their own will. And so just being authentic with yourself and understanding that your kids are not defining you, so don't take that out on them and don't have those expectations on them to define you.
In the moment, but at some point, depending on how heated the situation was, but she was always really good about explaining, look, this is why we do things the way we do. And then they understand. It's not just not telling them no, but this is why I'm telling you no. You can't always do that.
On the negative, oh gosh, my child's acting out, it's a reflection on me. But we also have to look at that on the positive things that they do too. And when they rock it, you can't go, yeah, you know, that's me too, you know. So it's you just have to be really, you know, authentic. It's not just you. Okay. They, as I think Eric said, what was it, 70%, 30% in Henry Cloud's study, that 70% of 30% of what they do may be your influence on them. All right, next slide. So the next thing we want to talk about is influence of the community. And we were so, so blessed in this. We, in all of these things, but the first thing is part of your community would be your family and mentors. And so I'm not talking about your specific little family, but your family, your non-immediate family. So we both had parents that just showed great examples. We were very blessed to have parents who were married the entire, you know, to each other the entire time. My parents were still living, and they had a huge part of my kids' life. They watched our kids every day. So we realize that that's not everyone's situation, but we do know that there's people out there that can help you that are in different seasons of the parenting, the life. So family members are super important to reach out to, or mentors. There was a sweet teacher retired about 3 years ago, Diana Genzel. Interesting, know who she was, and she was just this teacher that I told her, I said, you can't retire till my kids get out of high school, because I would go to her office and say, oh my gosh, can you believe, she'd just be like, listen, it's, and she'd talk you down. And we need those people in our lives. And so search out those people, your colleagues, friends, neighbors. Church is also a great place for that as well. Did you have anything on family or mentors? Church is also a good thing. We were super blessed again to find this church. The church we were at before, be around like thinkers to help you raise your children. As you know, they all understand what your end goal is. But this is a place where I really feel like authenticity is huge, and that's because when we were growing up, the church we started our family in, that wasn't the case. You were all to be your perfect family. You didn't say anything or do anything that you knew was outside the norms and expectations of that church family. And that's really hard. You don't really build the community you need in a church. And I feel like this church, we do a really good job about just being like, oh, we messed up. Or, you know, we allow our children to be children, and they're not placed in boxes of what the expectations are. And so, you're not of, no, because that's just not helpful for anyone. And then our final thing was neighbors. And we were so blessed. We had probably 12 families on our block, on our street. And all the kids were ranging in ages, but we're all very close in age. And this was huge. The thing with neighbors is you have to create that environment, though. Didn't just all just, hey, we're all neighbors, let's play together. So we had to create that environment. We did many purposeful things together. First, it was just like the moms sitting out. And again, I know not everyone is a mom that can stay home. Not everyone's a teacher that has off. But just sitting out in your front yard and allowing the kids to play with one another while you're getting to know the parents was huge. The kids actually would start calling us Otra Mama and Otra Papa, just meaning other mom, other dad. They knew they had different eyes on them. And, you know, sometimes they knew, you know, if I tell this to mom and dad, they're going to lose it. They're not going to hear me. So I'm going to talk to this person first, you know, my Otra Mama, my Otra Dad, and kind of feel it out. And then maybe it always gets back to you. It's like, okay, your kid just told me this. So it was just such a great way to raise our kids. We did crazy things that people probably, I mean, we have a front yard with our neighbor. We, you know, people are like, what, you know, whatever. But out in the front yard, we would eat. We'd get Mrs. Knott's and we'd just roll tables out in the front yard almost weekly.
Vacation together.
Yeah, and that was just a part of everybody coming together and making it happen, you know, being outside, being available to another. I skipped unlike thinkers, probably because, okay, so the unlike thinkers, I think that's really important because they need to see everyone's perspective. And when you keep children in a box of just what you want them to be, it becomes very difficult for them to navigate the world. It becomes very difficult for our kids to empathize with other people. And so, and I'm not talking like complete polar opposite of what you believe in, but maybe just little things. Like when I was raising my kids before I got to know some of my neighbors, like a Stepford wife, the cooking part still wasn't good. You know, the socks, the dress, the bow, it all matched, you know. It was crazy. It was not healthy. But anyway. Create this Norman Rockwell experience for you, you know. Let me get it all beautiful. And then I'm exhausted and I don't want to paint. I'm just like, you done? Let's move on. I got to clean up the painting, you know. And I had... She's got, we used to laugh at her, you know, you got a TV in your dog bed. I don't understand what's going on here, you know. She would just and do Legos or paint. And I was like, oh, there's an idea, you know. So, I mean, I'm not talking about believe that, but just different ways that that parents do things. And it really opened up our kids' eyes to different ways as well.
Race family. I mean, so we really did have a variety of perspectives in our neighborhood.
I would say that our street was one of the highlights of our parenting. And again, it's not like you can't have that. You just have to get out there and find that. And if it's not on your street, maybe it's the your kids' teammates or kids, you know, you are in dance class with, you know, but just try to make those connections with the adults, not just the kids on kids. Go ahead. No, no. We took care of that easily. Too many eyes. Too many eyes. Yeah, I did listen to a podcast and read a book, and it's written by Kristen Sherrell. I can't read. Our black ink was out, so I had to print it in blue, and I can't read it. Kristen Schell, and she, it kind of, when I was reading, I'm like, oh my goodness, this was our community. This is what we've been doing. But she just kind of bought this choice of people. yarn, she just started hanging out there, and then people walk by, hey, and they just like start stopping and talking. She also talked about a front yard Fridays, which I thought was a really cool idea, because now that all of our kids are gone, we hardly ever see our neighbors, and it's so crazy. It's just like, this is the time we can all be hanging out and doing great, you know, not, oh wait, come here, I gotta change this, I got, you know. So I you know, was talking to Eric, and I'm like, that would be a really fun thing to do. They just stick a sign in someone's yard, front yard Friday's here, everybody just comes and hangs out, and then next time move it to someone else on the street, and I don't know, I just really liked that idea. So it's a really good book, and she has some really great, not just national, but there's turquoise schools everywhere apparently. Anything on that? All right. And then just the last thing we wanted to talk about was just testing the waters. And these were some things that we did really try to do. I mean, obviously, none of this was done perfectly, but get your child on track. But these were things that we did really try. So when they're really young, guided choices was very helpful for us. And again, that reactionary part of you is just like, just take out the trash, right? And we would, believe me, we did that, okay? But then we'd have to step back. Okay, remember guided choices. Do you want to take out the trash before dinner or after dinner? And believe it or not, this for us, they'd be like, after? Okay. And they would do it. So just giving them that idea that they were making the decisions for themselves helped.
Choices later on, whether you want to go on to college or you want to do something. I mean, your choices that you make limit the choices that you have later on. It's not so much making the choices for them, but just kind of making sure they're aware of what the outcomes of those choices are going to be.
Something that was really hard for me as a mom was promoting risk taking. I am not a risk taker. I like to have everything in line. And how it's going to go, and that's, again, not a healthy thing to do, but promote risk-taking. And when a child says, you know, I want to try out for cheerleading, or I want to try out for the dance team, or I want to try out for the football team, you're like, you've never played football in your life. This is going to be really interesting, you know, but not go, oh, honey, no, let's, you know, don't talk them out of their try if you think that they're going to, oh, they could fail. Well, sure, we all fail all the time. You know, of course they can fail, but let's work on how we handle that failure. I was looking through my phone one day, and I saw that one person asked this little boy, what does fail mean? And he says, try again. And I thought that was a really good way to look at it. You know, it's not, we've been promoting that a lot in school too, just like failure is not that. And don't take that failure. It's important. With taking those risks, sometimes it works out for you. Teaching your children humility in that situation, not being too proud or bragging on your end or on your child's end, to just be really aware of the people around you and understand, you know, maybe there's somebody that also tried to do that and didn't accomplish the success you did. And trying to teach your children how to handle successes, and then also with the failures, help them to be accountable for their failures. And that comes with being modeling that behavior. When you mess up, you know, own it, fix it, move on. It's hard.
I told the story in our fourth group, but Meg was a soccer goalie, and we played down in a tournament in San Diego. It was a big tournament, and if they won this game, they would go on to the championship game. big deal. And they were winning. And it got down to the end of the game. And somebody kicked the ball towards the goal. And they came running up to get it. And she slipped and fell or something. And the ball just kind of slowly, the coach is running down the sideline and diving. And the ball rolled into the goal. And Meg was in tears. She was sobbing. And as soon as the door shut, and nobody could hear what I said, this one says, "Well, that was graceful."
How you do it.
Not
in a good way.
Okay, you messed up. Own it and move on. And she did. She laughed about it. She told
me. Yeah. The next thing we were talking about, just allow for those honest conversations. You know, be that person that your child feels comfortable to. So that you can, you know, have those conversations without them feeling like you're going to fly off the handle, or, I mean, there might be a punishment involved once they say something, but be there to listen to what they have to say. And then, finally, loosen the reins. And Eric talked a lot about this last week too, about don't try to get your kids out of those consequences. Let to experience those. It's just, it's time for them to try it out on their own. And we were like, well, no, but I can give you my advice, or I can give you, if you do this, or you can do this, or you can do this, but I'm not making a decision for you. And I know that this was really hard. She was, what, you know, and I'm just like, you know, I had a mom with a binder that walked around like, how many minutes do you want? 3 or 5, you know? And I'm just like, and she kind of wanted that person. And I was like, no, I want this to be your, I don't know. So it was, she said it was really frustrating, but then she also said that the freedom to make choices, that freedom was really important as well. So, I mean, and nothing comes like perfectly, and the kids are like, yay, I get to make all my own decisions. Sometimes they don't want to do that. Sometimes I would tell my kids, you can make me the bad guy. If you don't want to be in a situation with your friends, you can always, my mom's mean, she's not going to let me come. The end. I'm fine. I don't need to be your friend's friend.
The other thing is we encourage our kids to take care of their own problems. So if they have a problem at school with a teacher or whatever, and take care of them if you can,
then we'll
get involved. Yeah. But you got to try to take care of it first.
But I really appreciate it. Actually, as a teacher, I really appreciated Eric's comments last week about, you know, don't go in with questioning everything that the teacher or the administration said about your child. The rules, these are the consequences, and you need to team up and do that with the people that they have wronged. Our last.
I think too, this part is hard. I think I'm on both the kids and us. I know.
Oh, yeah.
Situation where, you know, before they were, we made all the rules, and then they went out and lived on their own and made their own rules. And I think when they first came home, that was an awkward transition for all of us to try to figure out how to make that work. But we got through it. So.
Yeah. Last time we did this Bible, had hanging up in our home or anything, but when we read it, the last part, just impress, you know, love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your strength. We've heard that over and over again, but I don't know if I've ever really paid attention to the rest of it, where it says these commandments I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them on your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, and when you lie down, and when you get up. So impress them upon your choice. And again, it's not like we walked around with our Bibles reading Bible verses. Oh, here's a great one. Let's do, you know, but just like showing them with your life, or trying your best to show them with your life, and that this is what it's all about. We don't have any pushback, whatever Eric does. We don't have any specific questions, but Eric thought it might be good to just open up a discussion on any questions or comments, or just, I mean, we are by far, honestly, we are not, we don't not have this all figured out. I've experienced it, so there's that.